Senate will please come to order. Clerk will please call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, George, Girard, Haas, Haas, Johnson, Johnson, Cruz, Cruz, Metzger, Monis Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morissette, Morse, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Winters, President Courtney.
A quorum is present. We will post the colors, and Senator Richard Devlin is going to lead us in the pledge. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all. Our invocation today, Rabbi James Green, Temple of Beth Shalom here in Salem.
Eloheinu v'Elohe Avotenu v'Imotenu, our God and God of our ancestors, we ask your blessing for our state, for its government, for its leaders and advisors, and for all who exercise right and just authority. Grant these leaders assembled here this morning the wisdom to act in service of all the people of Oregon, that they may administer all affairs of state fairly, that peace and security, happiness and prosperity, justice and freedom may forever abide in our midst. Source of creation, bless all the inhabitants of our country and this beautiful state with your spirit. May citizens of all races and creeds forge a common bond in true harmony to banish hatred and bigotry and to safeguard the ideals and free institutions that are the pride and glory of our land. Imbue into our hearts the discernment that we are all created in your image, people of all backgrounds, faith traditions, gender identities, sexual orientations, young and old, and place into our hearts the ability to understand, to see, to hear, to learn and to teach, to keep, to do and to uphold all that is sacred about the holy work of serving the people of Oregon. Help us to remember that in this state, which has been richly blessed by the bounty of creation, that you call on all of us to be your partners in the repair and perfection of the world, to be your hands in extending help to those in need, to supporting and uplifting the strangers in our midst. As the psalmist writes, let the beauty of creation be upon us and the work of our hands upon us. O prosper it, the work of our hands. Bless these, our senators, their staffs and advisors, with the wisdom and understanding to enact laws which will benefit all Oregonians. Let them fulfill the ancient call, Tzedek, Tzedek, Tirdof, Lema'an, Tihyeh, v'yarashta et ha'aretz asher Adonai Elohecha notein lach. Justice, justice shall you pursue, that you may thrive and occupy the land that the Lord your God has given you. Amen. Thank you so much, Senator Horton. It's a blessing to be here.
Thank you very much, Rabbi James Green, for your invocation. I'd like to extend the courtesy of the Senate to you. Thank you, Senator Richard Devlin, for your leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Honorary pages, Thomas Sanders, Ryan Haupt, and Thomas Lynch, the guest of Senator Jackie Winters. Thank you, pages, for being here today and helping us with our Senate session and with our activities throughout the day. It's an honor and privilege to have you here. To each one of you, pages, I'd like to extend the courtesies of the Senate to you. On your desk are tulips from the Wooden Shoe Tulip Farm in Woodburn. And hope that you enjoy them. They will bloom throughout the day and tomorrow. I think they'll start to bloom even more tomorrow. We picked them yesterday, and actually Saturday we picked them. Worked with them yesterday, so this has become a sort of a tradition here to have these tulips. Thank you, Wooden Shoe, for your willingness to help us with this venture. Recognize Senator Bates, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to extend courtesy to the Senate to my intern, Chris Smiley. He's a political science major at Willamette. Sometimes I forget how important our interns are to us. They keep us on track and remind us to do what we're supposed to be doing. It struck me this morning as I was driving up from Medford and as I was going through Grants Pass, realized I left my cell phone at home. I know no one else ever does that. My next thought was, well, that's no problem. I'll just grab my cell phone and call home and tell them to ship it up to me. When you leave it at home, it doesn't work that way. So, Chris, thanks for being here. Keep me on track this week. Look forward to working with you as always. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Mr. Bates, yes, Chris, I'd like to extend the courtesy of the Senate to you. It's an honor and a privilege to have you here. We learn from the interns. They help us with our activities. I hope that you also will learn from us. And you're interning with one of the best, Senator Bates. So thank you, Chris. Have a good day. Recognize Senator Verger.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to extend a warm welcome to some of my constituents who are also here today with the Oregon chapter of the American Backflow Prevention Association. Through its network of regions and state chapters, the ABPA is dedicated to education and technical assistance related to the protection of waterworks. The education emphasis is evident in their spending a day at the Capitol, and I welcome them.
Yes, Senator, would you like to welcome them? Yes, they're standing on the South Gallery. Appreciate your being here today in your state capitol. Hope you have a great day. I'd like to extend the courtesy of the Senate to each and every one of you. Have a good day. Thank you. Recognize Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I hope you will extend the courtesies of the Senate to two groups of school kids that I have here. The Nestucca Valley Elementary School, there are 30 students with their advisor, Steve Lucier, and I think they're in the back gallery right now. And then later today, we're going to be joined by Sandy Kraft and students from the Lewis and Clark Grade School in St. Helens. So if you would join me in extending courtesies, that'd be great.
Okay. Nestucca Valley, thank you for being here today. Hope you have a great day in your state capitol. Stay with us and come back and see us again. It is your capital, so have a great day and welcome very much to the Oregon State Senate and to Lewis and Clark School, which will come later. I'd like to extend the courtesies to them when they join us. If they don't, let it be known that Senator Johnson would ask for the courtesy of the State Senate to be extended to the Lewis and Clark Elementary School, and we hope you are also having a great day. Remonstrances? Senator Atkinson, please.
Mr. President, springtime, and I think everyone should go outside to Oregon's newest state park and enjoy it before the rain blows away all of the beautiful blossoms. It's beautiful, and I just encourage you to go out and take a look. For the first time in years and years, all the fountains are on, all the lawn is perfectly manicured, the bulbs are starting to come up. Mr. President, I think we should all enjoy it while it's here. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator Atkinson. Senator Nelson, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. On your desk today, I've dropped off a little article I picked up out of the London Times. talking about chill winds take heat off global warming. Climate change skepticism is now going mainstream. And so when we're here doing our deliberations about where we're supposed to be spending our money, I would just ask us body to perhaps look at the more important things, education, healthcare, public safety, rather than being concerned about what global warming is doing. If you read through this article, it refers to a Professor Freeman Dyson from Princeton, who possesses not only the finest noodles on planet Earth, but also happens to think of what many people preach to him out a little more than yuppie self-loathing. And all the fuss about global warming is exaggerated. And how do you think that would change our debate if we were saying, actually, carbon dioxide is a good gas? It helps plant grow. We need more of it. We wouldn't be spending all this money and all this time trying to solve a problem that probably doesn't exist. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. I recognize Senator Morris.
Thank you, Mr. President. I thought this might be the last time that I would rise in remonstrance for my alma mater. But it dawned on me that having swept California in three, the baseball team has work yet to do, and there may be a remonstrance coming later in the session. But notwithstanding that, we had a gymnastics team that accomplished great things over the weekend. We qualified for the Nationals. We had an individual that captured the all-around medal in the regionals. So our gymnastics team is doing well. And, of course, Mr. President, you'll recall our discussions of last week regarding the baseball team. And they played the game of the century, literally, maybe the last century, for Oregon State in basketball, having captured the CBI Invitational Tournament. So, Mr. President, please extend an attaboy and an attagirl for the Oregon State athletic accomplishments. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Morris. Recognize Senator Burdick, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, today is the first day of National Public Health Week, and we couldn't have picked a more gorgeous day. With two-thirds of the population of Oregon considered overweight or obese, among the worst in the country, the time is now for us to lead the charge to address the obesity epidemic. So please join me today for a walk on the Capitol steps at noon for a rally, and at 12:15 we will begin our state walk for the public's health. And on your desk today, you will find Senate Bill 10 compliant pedometers provided by the Northwest Health Foundation and instructions on how to report your mileage for the week. If we each walk 7.5 miles, roughly a little over 7.5 miles, for the entire week, which we can record on our pedometers, then we will meet our goal of walking clear across Oregon collectively as a legislature. Just to put that in perspective, Senator Monroe and I during the last session probably averaged 12 miles a day when we were engaged in a fierce competition in the walking contest. So 7.5 miles for a week is very doable. We need to do our part and show leadership in Oregon to help improve public health and address the obesity epidemic. So I hope you will all join me today on the Capitol steps at noon or as soon as thereafter as you can get there, but no later than 12:15 so that we can all walk together for the cause of public health. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator Burdick. Recognize Senator Winters.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, colleagues, my colorful outfit that I'm wearing today was sent to me from Tanzania. Those of you who know and who received your invitation to Wine for Water, a project that I've been involved with, and thank you, Mr. President, for joining me yesterday at the event. We were able to raise enough money to dig 2.5 wells in Tanzania to provide clean water for the orphans and individuals in Tanzania. There were 182 individuals who came to help us yesterday, Mr. President, and I am just very, very grateful that there are individuals who understand that as a world we are connected. even though there may be an ocean that separates us, that children who have needs, it doesn't matter whether they are here in the United States or whether they're in Africa. And a special thank you to the Samuel Johnson Foundation.
Thank you, Senator. It's recognized. Senator Farioli.
Two things, Mr. President. First of all, I note on my desk there are some rather lovely tulips. And I think that certainly that says spring, and a little bird told me that perhaps the Senate President's office had something to do with that. But I'd like to thank whoever it was that brightens up our day. So it's so nice to see the flowers brought in. And, Mr. President, water, clean water, it's a very important issue. Today in the Capitol building, the Oregon chapter of the American Black Backflow Prevention Association are here. You know, it's something we take for granted. People connect up to the public water system. They always assume everything's just going to work perfectly. But cross-connection, Mr. President, can be a really serious health issue. And there's folks here in the Capitol today that specialize in making sure that that doesn't happen. So under remonstrance, I just wanted to recognize the fact that they're here and mention that it's an extremely important service that they provide. Hope they enjoy their day at the Capitol, Mr. President. Clean water benefits us all. Nice tulips.
Thank you, Senator Farioli. Recognize Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. I pushed my button to do this remonstrance before I knew that the good minority leader was going to thank you for the tulips. And so, on behalf of all of us, thank you for brightening our day, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Bonamici. Further remonstrances? Questions from the House?
Mr. President, I'm directed by the Speaker to inform you that the House has adopted Senate Joint Memorial 1.
Reports from conference committees. Reports from standing committees, and of course, the SR 8.551 committee report, summary number 57, distributed to members April 2nd, and number 58 was distributed today. This information recorded the Journal of State's report. So ordered. Reports from special committees. Proposition and motion. Recognize Senator Johnson.
Mr. President, I move that consideration of HCR 9 be taken from its place on today's calendar and placed on the Tuesday, April 7th calendar.
Senator Johnson has moved the consideration of SCR 9. Be taken from its place in today's calendar and placed on Tuesday's April 7th calendar. To your motion, please.
Mr. President, the family of Mr. Lett will be able to join us in the gallery tomorrow, and I would appreciate that courtesy extended to them.
The question is on taking SCR 9 from today's calendar and placing it on Tuesday's April 7th calendar. All those in favor, please say aye. Aye. Those opposed, no. This motion is carried. Action on executive appointments that require Senate confirmation. Introduction, first reading of Senate measures.
Senate Bill 971 relating to training costs of employees of governmental agencies.
These are transmitted to the President's referral. Second reading of Senate measures.
Senate Concur Resolution 10, in memoriam Dr. Robert Bacon, 1918 to 2009. Senate Joint Resolution 8, designating airstrip at Aurora State Airport as West LaMotta Field at Aurora State Airport. Senate Bill 24, relating to health benefit plan coverage of telemedical services. Senate Bill 159, relating to communicable diseases. Senate Bill 177, relating to practice of social work. Senate Bill 275, relating to medical assistance of inmates with serious mental illnesses who are released from public institution and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 383 relating to home care workers. Senate Bill 512 relating to disclosure of information about students involved in the justice system and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 583 relating to all-terrain vehicle helmet requirements. Senate Bill 595 relating to veterans and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 663 relating to vacancy in office of director of irrigation district. Senate Bill 685 relating to extensions of credit. Senate Bill 875 relating to assistance animals and declaring an emergency.
These are passed to the counter. We're now on the third reading of Senate measures. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 114 relating to academic degrees and declaring an emergency.
Recognize Senator Cruz, the carrier.
Thank you, Mr. President, colleagues.
Thank you, Mr. President, colleagues. I believe my friend here to the right, just to the right on the floor, actually does need a caucus. We do not.
All right. Senator Cruz, I'm going to ask you to stand down as we go to caucus. We'll come back to it. I thought I had gotten in certain signals, but I obviously did not. All right, recognize Senator Farioli, please.
Mr. President, thank you, Mr. President. The Republicans would like to caucus upstairs for 10 minutes.
We'll give you 15. President. We'll give you 15.
15 will work fine. Thank
All
you,
right.
Mr. President.
And Senator Devlin, the Democrats are to do what?
Thank you, Mr. President, Senate colleagues, Democrats, be at ease.
All right. We will be in recess for 15 minutes. We will be back on the floor at 10:50. The Senate is now recessed.
Atkinson, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, Ferrioli, George, George, Gerard, Gerard, Haas, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Cruz, Metzger, Monis Anderson, Monroe, Morset, Morset, Morse, Morse, Nelson, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Starr, Telfer, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Whitsett, Winters, Winters, President Courtney.
A quorum is present. The Senate recessed under the order of third reading of Senate measures and will resume under that order. It is so ordered. So the clerk would read the bill again, please.
Senate Bill 114 relating to academic degrees and declaring an emergency.
Looking for Senator Cruz. Should we move ahead or just... Should we just move ahead? Without, are you ready? Okay.
Is it a go?
Oh,
okay. What are we all waiting for? Mr. President, thank you, colleagues. Senate Bill 114A deals with diploma mills. A diploma mill is an institution of higher education that operates without supervision of a state or professional agency and grants diplomas that are either fraudulent or, because of the lack of proper regulations, are worthless. I think there are some members of this body that have diplomas such as that. The diploma mill industry is currently reportedly estimated at about $200 million a year nationwide. The Oregon Student Assistance Commission currently maintains a website listing over 300 recently reported unaccredited degree suppliers. What this bill does is prohibit a person who receives a degree from a diploma mill from using disclaimer to claim or represent that the person possesses an academic degree authorized by the state of Oregon. I urge an aye vote.
Thank you, Senator Cruz. Discussion? Question arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 114. Those of the opinion the bill shall pass will say aye as the names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will please call the roll.
Winters.
Senator Winters.
Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Farioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse.
Senator Morris.
Nelson. Krasonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Starr.
Okay. Senator Starr.
Telfer. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. President Courtney.
Yes.
Okay. Excused. Carter, Metzger, voting no. Atkinson, Boquist, Farioli, George, Gerard, Nelson, Starr, Whitsett, 20 ayes.
Senate Bill 114, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 115, relating to Oregon University System payroll deductions.
Recognize Senator Bonamici.
Mr. President, colleagues, currently state agencies can deduct from the salary or wages of an employee a payment to the United Fund if the employee so requests. This statute is specific to the United Fund and does not provide authority for them to deduct any other charitable giving. The Chancellor's Office of the Oregon University System has received requests from one or more of the Oregon University System institutions to allow payroll deductions for charitable giving to local nonprofit organizations, particularly to the Governor's Food Drive. Senate Bill 115A would empower the Chancellor or his designee to authorize voluntary payroll deductions if requested by a member institution. This is a voluntary program, colleagues, and it's the right time to enhance ability for charitable giving. The Chancellor shall prescribe procedures for determining the qualifications just to assure that this is a nonprofit organization. This bill has no fiscal impact, and it passed from our Senate Committee on Education and General Government unanimously. Colleagues, I urge your aye vote on Senate Bill 115A. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Bonamici. Discussion? Question arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 115. Those opinion bills are passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick.
Burdick.
Aye.
Carter. Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder.
Aye.
Farioli.
Aye.
Farioli. George.
No.
Gerard.
Aye.
Haas.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
Aye.
Metzger. Minus Anderson.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette.
Aye.
Morse.
Aye.
Nelson.
No.
Przonski.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
No.
Telfer.
Aye.
Ferger.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett. Winters.
Aye.
President Courtney.
Yes.
Not answering Carter. Excused Metzger, voting no. Atkinson, Boquist, George, Gerard, Nelson, Starr, Whitsett, 22 ayes.
Senate Bill 115, having received a conscious majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 327, relating to practice of naturopathic medicine and declaring an emergency.
Recognize Senator Manas Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, we're on 327, right?
Correct.
Oh, okay, now, Senate Bill 327 is a scope of practice bill for the naturopaths, and they want to expand their scope to be able to prescribe synthetically derived medications. And you know, we all love to make decisions on scope issues. What made our committee vote 5-0 was the process they used. The information provided to our committee followed specific guidelines set up in the interim by the lobbyists of the various healthcare professions. Money was raised by the healthcare lobby. A facilitator was hired through the Portland State Consensus Program. And a lot of time and effort went into formulating these guidelines that both the House and Senate Health Committees said would need to be followed if they wanted a scope issue passed out of committee. Colleagues, medicine is changing. We are learning more and more about our bodies, how they work, and what keeps us well. And healthcare providers are adapting to new research and science when caring for their patients. Evidence-based medicine provides new procedures, treatments, medications that are just better, and they work better and they are most effective. The naturopaths brought this legislation to us saying, our practice only allows us to prescribe naturally derived medications, but research is proving that some treatments, procedures, and medications work better than others. Many naturally derived medications are being found not to be as effective as synthetically derived medications. Yet, the naturopaths are forced by their formulary to use less effective and in many cases more expensive medications. And they are refusing to do that. They refer their patients to nurse practitioners or to medical doctors. The naturopaths need to be able to use the most effective medications. One of the most effective medications for blood pressure is a diuretic. Yet this diuretic is synthetically derived and they cannot use it. The formulary drug is more expensive, it has more side effects, and it's less effective. And there are many, many examples like this. Many of the drugs they prescribe are very effective, such as all the penicillins, which they can prescribe, oxycodone, morphine, lithium, many cardiovascular drugs. They have hundreds and hundreds of medications that they can already prescribe. Yet some of the most cost-effective and most effective drugs they are not able to. There are examples from physicians and medical doctors who actually gave testimony. There are many physicians that want this legislation. A physician from Kaiser, who is a general internist practicing hospitalist medicine, is co-managing patients with naturopathic physicians. And he has found that naturopathic physicians are trained and educated as primary care physicians and have the same knowledge base to draw upon for prescribing pharmaceutical drugs. In a time when Oregon is facing a shortage of primary care doctors, we must allow all health care practitioners to practice to the full extent of their education. Another physician stated, "I have a number of patients who see me as well as a naturopath, and I find it a waste of the patient's time and of my time and of health care resources for that patient to require two office visits to obtain a prescription that could have easily been handled by the naturopath if they had the prescribing authority. What an inexcusable waste of a valuable resource." And another medical doctor said, "Requiring a patient to schedule an additional appointment both adds cost to the system and causes an unnecessary delay in their treatment. It also seems foolish to allow naturopathic physicians to provide primary care, and statute says they can provide primary care, yet continue to restrict them from using safe frontline medications for chronic diseases. In a time when we are facing a shortage of primary care, we simply must allow them to have access to appropriate medication." A naturopath cited many examples of the waste of time and inefficiency. One saw a patient who no longer had health insurance and came to him for an hour for three times less the money than he could see an MD for. His hope was to stop his blood pressure medication. Well, the naturopath assessed and he found he should not stop his blood pressure medication, but it would be possible but he needed monitoring to make a change to other drugless blood pressure management. But the naturopath couldn't do that because he could not take that patient off that medication, and yet the naturopath was able to explain to him why he shouldn't go off it, but he could be monitored in other blood pressure managements. Another patient drank well water in the southern states while visiting relatives, and she and her husband were both treated positive for pork tapeworm on stool evaluation. And the antiparasitic medication of choice was albendazole, but the naturopath's formulary only allows mebendazole, which is specific for roundworm but less effective for tapeworm. So these are the kinds of cases that are not in the best interests of the patient. Colleagues, there is overwhelming evidence that expanding the scope of naturopaths to prescribe synthetically medications will put Oregon's naturopaths into the 21st century. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. I recognize Senator Burdick. Senator Burdick.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to speak in support of this bill. The College of Naturopathic Medicine is located in my district. I have toured this facility and was very impressed by what I saw there. Naturopaths have an incredible role to play, especially in rural medicine, where access to health care is often a problem. The college has two teaching clinics where patients are seen by a team of providers, and this team, overseen by both medical and naturopathic physicians, includes two students and an attending practitioner. When I toured the Natural Health Center in my district, I appreciated the broad services they provide, including wellness exams, women's annual exams, nutritional counseling, and the creation of a health plan individualized for the patient. This legislative body consistently articulates a desire to see more preventative medicine, and those services I toured provide exactly that. In addition to the teaching clinics, the college is also a member of the Coalition of Community Clinics, offering free and low-cost medical care delivered by naturopathic physicians. Each year, those 14 clinics handle approximately 17,500 patient visits. Passage of Senate Bill 327A will help naturopathic physicians at those clinics treat more Oregonians with safe, effective, and affordable medications, and I urge an aye vote. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Witsit, you don't wish... Okay, recognize Senator Morissette, please.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. This bill came out of my committee,
And I just want to praise Senator Mona Sanderson for the fine work that she does on these scope of practice bills. During the interim, she came up with a formula, a plan that requires the stakeholders to get together and discuss a compromise or come to a conclusion of some kind. Sometimes they don't reach a compromise, they just don't, and so the bill dies. But in this case, they worked very hard, and we didn't hear the bill until they were finished with their work. And so I think it's a good bill, but I think that the process itself is something that we sorely needed, and this is a permanent part of the way we're going to be dealing with these scope of practice bills. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator. I recognize Senator Bonamici, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I want to add my support to Senate Bill 327A. I was a bit skeptical at first as someone without a background in this area, and I started hearing from several naturopaths in my district, including the chair of the Oregon Board of Naturopathic Examiners. And so I did my homework, and I want to also extend my congratulations to Senator Mona Sanderson. I actually read through the scope of practice review that was done on this issue, and colleagues, there was a lot of work put into this, and they really have done their homework on this issue. As the carrier was saying, naturopathic physicians have had prescription privileges since the 1950s, and they have an extensive formulary now. But because of this limitation, they can only use naturally derived medication, and sometimes, as the carrier explained, that just doesn't make sense and adds cost and time to the patients, particularly in rural areas. And colleagues, it just doesn't make any sense for the naturopathic physicians to be limited by the molecular structure of the medication they're prescribing. And that's what Senate Bill 327A will correct. Naturopathic physicians have training, experience, continuing education, and board oversight. I urge your support of Senate Bill 327A. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Walker.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I read something?
Please feel free to do so.
This is all well and good, and I'm going to support this bill, but it just struck me as really odd that a naturopathic doctor wants to use a synthetically derived drug, and I indicated that to the good senator who's carrying the bill. So it's been gnawing at me, so I did a little Google search here, and here's the definition for you. Naturopathic medicine, also known as naturopathy or natural medicine, is a complementary and alternative medicine which emphasizes the body's intrinsic ability to heal and maintain itself. That's good. Naturopaths prefer to use natural remedies such as herbs and foods rather than surgery or synthetic drugs. Okay, that's a definition from Wikipedia. You take it as you see it, because everybody and his dog gets to put in their information on Wikipedia. But I thought it was fascinating. I respect and admire naturopaths. In fact, they have quite a bit of study that they have to put in, as the good senator from, Lori, what's your district? Gresham told us, but you know, it just strikes me as very odd. I guess if people want to go to naturopaths and assume that you're not always going to get natural medicine, that's okay. But the other piece of this bill that I like, other than the part that just leaves me kind of wondering, is that they offered themselves up, as the good senator from Gresham said, they offered themselves as the guinea pigs for the first scope of practice review, where they worked hard to deliver comprehensive answers to the committee. And I believe they did that, and I believe this is genuine. It just continues to gnaw at me, and I just wanted to throw it out there with all this good speak that we've got this morning. Just get a little bit of reality, what that means, and I'll probably hear from all the naturopaths in the state now, but that's okay. I just needed to lay that out there, Mr. President, so thank you.
Thank you. Senator Mona Sanderson, do you wish to close?
Just to make a point. When you take a look at this document that the naturopaths put forward, basically they are, our statutes say that they can diagnose and treat any condition. That's what a naturopath can do. In the statute, it says a nurse practitioner, family nurse practitioner, can diagnose and treat any condition. And a medical doctor, its statute says, can diagnose and treat any medication. And when you look at the pharmacology course hours, we have to remember that one physician told me, he says that you should be aware that MDs can start prescribing all pharmaceuticals immediately upon completion of their four-year medical degree. We could not, in the report, it shows that naturopaths have 72 hours of pharmacology course hours versus a family nurse practitioner with only 45 hours, so 45 versus 72. They also have 1,500 clinical supervised clinical practice versus 600 hours for a family nurse practitioner. So, indeed, I feel that their skills are comparable, and I urge an aye vote. Thank you.
Question now rises upon the third reading. The final passage of Senate Bill 327. Those in the opinion of the bill shall pass say aye. The names are called. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Bates.
No.
Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter.
No.
Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder.
Aye.
Ferrioli.
No.
George.
Aye.
Gerard.
No.
Haas.
Aye.
Johnson.
No.
Cruz.
Aye.
Metzger. Monis Anderson.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette.
Aye.
Morse.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Prozanski. Prozanski.
Senator Prezant.
Rosenbaum. Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer.
Aye.
Verger.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett.
Aye.
Winters.
No.
Atkinson.
No.
President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Metzger. Voting no. Atkinson. Bates. Ferrioli. Gerard. Johnson. Whitsett. Winters. 22 ayes.
Senate Bill 327, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 330, related to voters' pamphlet.
Recognize Senator Walker.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 330 comes to you from your Rules Committee. I think Rules and Elections. Nope, Senate Committee on Rules. I had to change it a little bit, colleagues. I came out of the box wanting the world, and I got a piece of it. But that's the way it works. Originally, this bill would have asked us to print in the voters' pamphlet the five largest contributors to every ballot measure and candidate so that the world could know who's spending money. But because of the timelines of the voters' pamphlet, it wouldn't have made any sense. And you would have had people spending a little bit of money, and then as soon as the timeline hit, then they would have spent lots of money, and you would never know. So we now have narrowed this bill down to do one thing, which is to simply print in the voter's pamphlet the procedures for filing a complaint, how to make a complaint, what's appropriate, what's not, with regard to election law violations. So, colleagues, I think it won't take very much space in the voter's pamphlet. That's why the fiscal impact is minimal. But I think it's something for the voters to read because they treat it like their Bible in a way at election time, and they need to have this information instead of having to go out on the internet and look for something. So it should be right there with all the rest of their election information. So I would urge you to support this bill today. I would appreciate it, actually. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Discussion? Question now rises upon the third reading of the final passage of Senate Bill 330. Those in the opinion of bills will pass say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Bonamici. Boquist.
Aye.
Burdick. Burdick.
Senator Burdick.
Carter. Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder.
Aye.
Ferrioli.
Aye.
George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Monis Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Prozanski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters.
Senator Winters.
Aye.
Atkinson.
No.
Bates.
Senator Bates.
Aye.
President Courtney.
Yes.
Not answering. Excused, Metzger, voting no, Atkinson, George, Gerard, Cruz, Starr, 24 ayes.
Senate Bill 330, having received constituent majority, is declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 496, relating to Oregon Growth Account and declaring an emergency.
Recognize Senator Burdick.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 496 increases the availability of revenue within the Educational Stability Fund by modifying the Oregon Growth Account, which exists within that fund. The Oregon Growth Account is a subaccount of the Educational Stability Fund and was a subaccount of the previous fund, the Education Endowment Fund. It's existed since 1995. It receives 10% of the lottery revenue dedicated to the Education Stability Fund, and it's designed to provide venture capital for Oregon-based startups. The Oregon Growth Account is managed by the Treasurer through the Oregon Growth Board. It currently has a total of $92 million committed to venture capital partners. And of this amount, $46 million has been invested, and another $46 million is remaining to be invested. The Treasurer is prepared, as we found out a couple weeks ago, to declare earnings of $18 million on past investments. And under current law, this $18 million would go into a never-before-used subaccount of the Education Stability Fund called the Commercialized Research Fund. So Senate Bill 496, which is the product of discussions that my vice chair, the good senator from Corvallis, and I had with the state treasurer, is designed to make more funds immediately available within the Education Stability Fund if needed, while maintaining the state's commitment to encouraging venture capital investments in Oregon. Specifically, the bill does three things. It redirects the Oregon Growth Account declared earnings from this never-used commercialized research fund to the General Education Stability Fund, which would make these dollars immediately available if the legislature meets the requirements for withdrawing them for public education purposes, and especially in this time where we are likely to draw upon this fund at some point, that $18 million will be most welcome. It reduces the future set-aside of incoming Education Stability Fund revenue from 10% for the current 10% to 5% for 4 years, beginning on July 1st, 2009. This is expected to transfer $9.7 million from the Oregon Growth Account to the General Education Stability Account during the 2009-11 biennium. And again, I think we're going to find that this money will be most particularly welcome in the times we're in. Finally, the bill requires the Oregon Growth Account Board to submit a report to the legislature prior to February 1st, 2011. The report is to detail the performance of Oregon Growth Account investments and make recommendations on the amount of Education Stability Fund revenue that should be directed into the Oregon Growth Account over the long term. Colleagues, the bill in its original form would have simply suspended the 10% allocation for the Oregon Growth Account for a period of time. We decided to take this compromise approach after hearing testimony about some of the investments that were actually made with these funds. As we all know, small business is the backbone of the Oregon economy, and these are obviously startup businesses. It's in the high-risk category, but they are Oregon businesses, and if they can return earnings, as some of them have, that's great, but even some of the ones that don't return earnings are still providing jobs for Oregonians in this very difficult economic time. This is a good trade-off. It will reduce the amount being contributed to the Oregon Growth Account, but it won't cut it off entirely. And hopefully when times are better, we'll be able to reevaluate how we want to allocate these resources to the Education Stability Fund. So I urge an aye vote.
Thank you. Discussion? Question now rises upon the third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 496. Those in the opinion of the bill to pass say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Boquist. Boquist.
Senator Boquist.
Burdick. Carter. Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder.
Aye.
Ferrioli.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Gerard.
No.
Haas.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz. Metzger. Minus Anderson. Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette.
Aye.
Morse.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Prozonsky.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer.
Aye.
Verger. Walker. Walker.
Senator Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett. Winters.
Aye.
Atkinson. Bates. Bates.
Senator Bates.
Bonamici. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused, Metzger, voting no. Atkinson, Gerard, Cruz, Whitsett, 25 ayes.
The Senate Bill 496, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 589, relating to taxation of Indian tribal land and prescribing an effective date.
Recognize Senator Telfer.
Thank you, Mr. President. In 1934, Congress passed the Wheeler-Howard Act, designed to reacquire lands in historic tribal areas that had been previously sold off to private parties and individuals at the encouragement of the U.S. government. This process benefits tribes by converting land owned privately by tribal members to federal title, making it exempt from local and state taxes and regulations in most cases. These aspects are seen as essential to the growth of tribal economic viability as well as the preservation of tribal sovereignty. Senate Bill 589 would address some issues in ORS 307.181, which was passed in 1993 to elevate some of the tax burdens tribes would be faced with during the acquisition process of the community tribal land. The first issue addressed is the repeal of the sunset provision in the law. Currently, tribal lands that have applied for fee-to-trust process are only exempt from local and state taxes until July 1, 2012. The removal of this sunset would provide potential investors in the tribal lands with a more predictable economic model to work with by eliminating the potential of increased costs due to taxes if the sunset remains in place. Secondly, Senate Bill 589 would remove the five-year limit on exemption currently in place for individual properties in the fee-to-trust process. When ORS 307.181 was enacted, the average time for approval of fee-to-trust land was only 2 years. As the approval process has changed at the federal level, the time for approval has increased to over 5 years. This has left many tribes stuck in the application process and paying taxes on land, awaiting approval for tax-exempt status. These unexpected delays in application approvals have caused tribal investors to worry about pricing of developing as costs rise due to unexpected taxes. Senate Bill 589 will help provide stability in long-term tribal planning towards economic viability and self-sustainability. The nine tribes of Oregon are currently seeking fee-to-trust status for only 900 acres. Many parcels of this small amount of land have been in the application process for years, with no sign of the process speeding up in the near future. The repeal of the fee-to-trust tax exemption sunset and five-year limit on tax-exempt status will provide the Native tribes of Oregon with a more viable opportunity to develop alternative energies, improve education, contribute to the local economy, and move towards tribal self-sufficiency. I urge your yes vote.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion? Senator Ferrioli, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, the bill eliminates a sunset provision that would take effect on tax years beginning on or after July 1st, 2012. It is the state's policy to support the rebuilding of tribal lands. In the last 15 years, there's been a demonstrable unwillingness of the Department of Interior to delegate acquisition authority to the Bureau of Indian Affairs regional directors. And that unwillingness to delegate authorities created a situation of unreasonable delay. The nine treaty tribes today, the total land covered by the exemption today is less than 1,000 acres. There are scattered parcels throughout the state of Oregon, as our good colleague from Bend told us about, that need to be put in trust. Until we get past the problem of delay, I think the thing that we need to do is eliminate the sunset so that the work that's gone into producing the maps, getting the studies done, making the proposals, making the application, isn't lost and doesn't have to restart. This is a great bill, colleagues. Please vote yes on Senate Bill 589.
Thank you, Senator Varia. Discussion? Senator Telford, do you wish to close? No. All right. Question on rights upon a third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 589. Those the opinion bills are passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Burdick. Burdick. Carter. Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder. Farioli. George.
Aye.
Gerard. Hass.
Aye.
Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Monis Anderson.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette.
Aye.
Morse.
Aye.
Nelson. Nelson.
Aye.
Przanski.
Aye.
Rosenbaum. Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer.
Aye.
Verger.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett. Winters.
Aye.
Atkinson.
Aye.
Bates.
Aye.
Bonamici.
Aye.
Boquist.
Aye.
Burdick.
Aye.
President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Metzger. Voting no. Whitsett. 28 ayes.
The Senate Bill 589, having received constitutional majority, is declared passed. Senator Virgin, for what purpose do you rise?
Request to return to courtesies, please.
Without objection, please feel free to do so.
Thank you, Mr. President. In the upper gallery, we have some guests from England. They are on a world tour. These are friends of my L.A., Joel Fisher. They have been to 10 states in the United States. Joel has been showing them around Oregon in an effort to prove that Oregon is the most beautiful state in the United States of America. And so please welcome them to Oregon.
Thank you. Those from England, we welcome you very much. We hope you're having a good stay in the state. It's a great day. It's an honor and privilege to come to have you here. I hope someday I also get to go to the country of England. Thank you very much. First reading of the House measures. Second reading of House measures. Third reading of House measures. Other business of the Senate, in accordance with SR 8.403, committee referral list number 87 was distributed to members April 3rd. The referrals will be recorded in the Journal and Stage Report and so ordered. Under announcement, recognize Senator Burdick.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a reminder, Public Health Walk starts at, the rally starts at noon, but be there by 12:15 at the latest so we can all walk around the Capitol on this beautiful day. Thank you.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President, Senate colleagues. Senate Democrats, go immediately to our caucus room. We will be done in about 30 to 35 minutes.
Thank you. Senator Farioli is not on the floor. Does Senator Winters? I guess, okay. Okay. Are there any further announcements? Senator Farioli, did you have an announcement? You didn't have one. Okay. If there are no further announcements and without objection, the Senate is adjourned until 10:15 Tuesday, which is April 7th, tomorrow. The Senate is adjourned.